Hi, this is Pastor Mark Azil, the LCMS Director of Campus Ministry and LCMSU, inviting all college students and those with an interest in campus ministry to join us for Taboo, the 2015 National LCMS Campus Ministry Conference, this coming January 5th through 7th at St. Louis University in St. Louis. That's right, it's Taboo in the Lou. Find out more at lcms.org/LCMSU.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. You know, ordinarily when we have a conversation about where a religious group stands on any moral issue, it's fairly easy to, not in every case, but it's fairly easy, be it Christian or Muslim or Jewish, to say where do they stand, because you can ask about their history. Where have they stood? Where have they historically stood? Now, there may be individuals who deviate from the norm there, but generally speaking, you can look at an objective teaching on a moral issue that has remained fairly constant over time. And in a lot of cases, you're talking about a lot of time, aren't you? Well, what about the LDS Church, the Mormon Church? The time is much shorter, in the hundreds of years. And of course, the track record for consistency is interesting, to say the least, when it comes to issues, especially surrounding marriage. Is it possible that the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints may eventually accept homosexuality? There's an article to that effect by William Slayton. We're going to be talking about that with Bill McKeever, founder of Mormonism Research Ministry based in Draper, Utah, author of several books, including Answering Mormons' Questions, Mormonism 101, and In Their Own Words, a collection of Mormon quotations. Bill, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Good to be with you, Todd.
What in the LDS Church's past, and maybe even more recent past, have caused some to wonder whether or not, even on an issue like homosexuality, they might deviate or even reverse themselves?
Well, I think it's because, as the article that you just mentioned, they are looking at various aspects of Mormonism, such as polygamy and also the prohibition against those of African heritage from holding the priesthood. And they say, well, if they've changed on these issues, and those issues certainly seem to have changed because of public pressure. Now, the Mormons wouldn't agree with that. They would say there was, of course, divine revelation. But if it was public pressure that caused them to change on those issues, why couldn't they, through public pressure, change on this issue as well? I think this becomes a little bit more complicated than the other two that I mentioned, because the whole purpose of a Mormon's hereafter is not, as we would understand in an evangelical paradigm of being in the presence of God and worshiping our Lord throughout eternity. It's more of the possibility of eternal increase, which is defined in Mormonism as the ability to procreate. That's what it's all about. There's no escaping that. In fact, Spencer Kimball, just to read a citation from him in his book, The Miracle of Forgiveness, page 81, he says, clearly it is hostile to God's purpose and that it negates his first and great commandment to multiply and replenish the earth. If the abominable practice became universal, it would depopulate the earth in a single generation. It would nullify God's great program for his spirit children, and that it would leave countless unembodied spirits in the heavenly world without the chance for the opportunity of mortality, and would deny to all the participation in the practice of the eternal life God makes available to us all. In a Mormon hereafter, it's all about the family unit. And as God, they believe, is procreating to fill this world, a Mormon is hoping to someday fill the world they receive as a reward for being a good Mormon during this mortality. Homosexuality doesn't fit that paradigm at all. And so how is that going to even work without changing their whole view of eternity? I mean, that's going to be massive. I mean, they have changed things in the past, there's no doubt about it, but boy, this would be so complicated and so confusing to so many members. I can almost see them giving the priesthood to women long before I ever see them doing this.
Okay, so what you're saying there is when they changed on polygamy due to legal social pressure, whatever that may be, they were simply varying on a theme. They were not changing the basic components of marriage. They were simply kind of changing how many of any component you could have.
Well, Yeah, what they did was they just merely restricted the ability for a man to have more than one living wife here on earth. They never did get rid of polygamy in its entirety, because they do still teach that a man, when he becomes, let's say, a widower, he can remarry another woman who has not been sealed to another man and be perfectly content in believing that he's going to have not only that wife in the next life, but also the one who died previous to her. So polygamy is still there. They just don't practice it like they used to, but it's not gone. It's not gone at all. That's why I get a little irritated when I hear the Mormon leadership give the impression that polygamy plays no role in Mormon theology any longer. Well, it doesn't the way it was practiced in the 19th century, but it certainly is still believed in Mormonism today. This issue with the homosexual issue is, if in fact a Mormon's heaven is all about procreation, that wouldn't fit at all. So what are they doing up there? I mean, what's going on here? I mean, it just kind of undermines the whole reason why most Mormons are looking forward to the next life, and that is to populate their own world and to be God over that world.
So what shall we say? In principle, you know, according to kind of the revelatory principle, there's no reason to stop them from completely reversing any teaching. But as a matter of their kind of how it integrates into their theology, the Mormon Church is very unlikely to reverse itself on man-woman marriage.
Yes, that I think that's very well stated. You said it very concisely, but much better than I did in so many words. But I think you're right. Yes.
Finally, then, with just about a minute here, if someone is going to say, "Look, they're pretty clever. They have come up with ways to incorporate a lot of things into their theology that may not be consistent with their founding principles." Is it outside the realm of possibility they could find a way of incorporating something about homosexuality that would not directly undermine their kind of post-life procreative theology, their view of eternal salvation? What do you think?
Well, I really couldn't say on that. I mean, you're right. The leaders of the church are pretty clever. When we look at these New Gospel Topics essays and how they're explaining their past, they certainly are written very cleverly. Although it's not really the leadership that wrote those essays. It's more scholars that they've come up with. But yeah, they probably could try to do that. I don't think in the long run it's going to help their consistency rate. And that's always been a problem in the Mormon church. But in the past, they've sacrificed one to accept another. I guess it could possibly happen. How plausible that is, I don't know. It would be interesting to see what they're going to do with it down the road.
Bill McKeever is founder of Mormonism Research Ministry, based in Draper, Utah. He's author of several books, including Answering Mormons' Questions, Mormonism 101, and In Their Own Words, a collection of Mormon quotations. You'll find a link to Mormonism Research Ministry at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Bill, thank you again for your time, and keep up the good work.
My pleasure.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time talking about something that the president alluded to last night. Last night, in his speech before the nation on immigration reform, he quoted a Bible passage, in fact several, from Exodus chapters 21 and 23, and a principle that is repeated again and again in the Old Testament about oppressing a stranger. We'll see what the quote was, what it means in its context, and whether or not it applies to American immigration with Professor Tom Eger right after this. Folks, there are 6 weeks left in 2014, and we need a little more than $100,000 to cover our expenses for the year. Please consider making a year-end tax-deductible gift to support this worldwide outreach. You can contribute by check, make your check payable to Issues Etc., and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. Thanks for listening. And thanks for thinking of us at the end of 2014.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/Luther Academy.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
Whether vacationing in Branson or boating on Table Rock Lake, Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran Church in Kimberling City, Missouri is your Christ-confessing congregation. Every week, Christ comes to us through the preached word and sacraments, by which we are strengthened and kept in the one true faith. So come to where Christ comes to you. Come to Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran Church, 103 Kimberling Boulevard in Kimberling City, Missouri. For more, see our website at SOTHL.com.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Not only does our church need men right now, but the world needs men who will proclaim the gospel in its purity.
Issues, Etc. regular guest, Dr. Peter Scare, Associate Professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
If when you go to sleep at night, you're thinking about it, my experience with it is this, is that thought won't go away. So if you're going to bed at night thinking about following our Lord and becoming a preacher of this gospel, then I would love if you could come and visit Fort Wayne, our campus. We'd love to show you around and show you what it is that we do.
Have you ever considered becoming a pastor? Contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana at 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or visit ctsfw.edu. Christ-centered, cross-focused, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.